Last year, he's running for the remaining 2 years in the term against Democrat Glenn Wright. Both men are in the studio for this week's Utah Politics Now, and there's an interesting dynamic in this race. Both men are also the chairs of their respective parties in the county.
We will be questioning the candidates on a number of issues in the next 40 minutes, and at 10:45, we'll open up the phone lines to take your questions. We did a coin toss just a few minutes ago to determine who would start with their opening statement. Glenn Wright, the Democratic candidate, you won that coin toss. No, Tal won.
Yeah,
Tal
won.
Decided to go
yes,
second.
I won.
So, Glenn, you get to go first.
I get to go first. Very well. Good morning, everyone. Summit County is a great place to live. Many of us have moved to remain here because of the environment. And it's that environment that makes it an economic success. Many on both sides of the county are afraid we are choking on our success. My vision is for Summit County as a place where, with employment opportunities and housing that allow our residents to both live and work here, where we solve our traffic problems, where we lead on climate change but prepare for its effects, and where our initiatives on climate change can lead to additional economic opportunities. My experience includes a degree in aeronautical engineering, 6 years in the Air Force, two of it in combat in Vietnam, 30 years in the corporate world, working as an industrial safety consultant to companies small and large, including many Fortune 500 industrial and mining companies. My experience uniquely complements talents on the council to attack the problems facing Summit County. I hope you agree and will support my campaign.
Thank you. Tal Adair, your turn.
Hi, I'm Tal. Thank you for having us here today. My background is that I'm a father of four. I'm married to my sweet wife of 30 years. We decided to come here to Summit County to raise our kids and let our boys be boys. I probably have the deepest roots in Summit County. My in-laws and my grandparents have cemetery plots in Colville. I remember as a young boy coming to Park City and seeing the mine shaft. You could actually go down into the mine at that time and see many of the properties here on Main Street were up for tax sale. So I have pretty big roots here in Summit County. Summit County is going to see some terrific growth here probably in the next 5 to 10 years. And that growth is going to bring transportation issues, environmental issues. We've seen as far as affordable housing, and all of that is going to put stresses on our mountain living. So it's a great time to be here.
Great. Thank you. Tal Adair, the Republican candidate for Summit County Council. Glenn Wright, the Democratic candidate. We will be right back to ask questions of these gentlemen right after these messages. You're listening to Utah Politics Now on KPCW.
Hello, this is Blake Christian, managing partner of HCVT CPAs. We are very pleased to be underwriting the new KPCW program, Utah Politics Now. Keeping listeners informed of the political and tax policy landscape is important to us. More information about HCVT can be accessed at hcvt.com.
Hi, this is Angela from Peak Art and Frame, longtime supporters of KPCW. Peak Art and Frame offers custom picture framing, rush options, hanging and delivery services, and in-house designers. Open Monday through Saturday, located in the Walmart Shopping Center, 649-0801 or peakartandframe.com.
KPCW Main Street Music Crawl, presented by Red Ledges.
Saturday, November 12th, 7:30, until it's last call for you, Billy. Rockin', rollin', jumpin'.
Celebrate all things local, local bars, local music, and local radio.
Don't diss me, Missy. Party of the year. Tickets at kpcw.org.
No food. Eat at home.
Welcome back to Utah Politics Now. I'm Renee Bodley with my co-host Leslie Thatcher. And joining us in studio this morning is Glenn Wright, the Democratic candidate for Summit County Council, running against Tal Adair, the Republican candidate who has been appointed to council. You served a one-year term, now running for the remaining 2 years of that term. Let's start with the awkward moment from Monday night's candidate forum. Tal, you're the only county councilor from the east side of the county. You said that you and Glenn, as the respective chairs of your parties, had agreed that the east side needed representation and that you would both put up east side candidates for the seat. But Glenn, you're the candidate and you live in Prospector. Did you back out of that agreement?
We have an east side candidate. His name is Doug Clyde.
And
he's
running against...
But
he's
not elected yet.
No.
And he's running against
That's a decision the voters will make.
So you felt like that agreement was made with just any East Side candidate, yes, not specifically for this seat.
Yeah, and further in that is the county chair, when it came to filing time, we had actually two East Side potential candidates who were interested in running. With a four-year seat up and a two-year seat, everybody, including me, wanted to run for the four-year seat. But as the county chair, I kind of bit the bullet and said, okay, you guys run, you're going to run for the four-year seat, I'll run for the two-year seat.
And tell.
Well, I accept Glenn's his explanation, but then at least come to us as an agreement and say, hey, Tal, you know, so things have changed. This is where we're at. This is what we're doing. I understand in life you come to have more information or things aren't perfect, but don't say that I didn't recollect the same thing. Just come out and say it instead of just trying to spin it. Glenn, you and I are pretty good friends, and so, you know, our relationship on both parties is that I thought that you could feel that you could come to me instead of saying, hey, you don't see it the same way I did.
I think, well, the key was we do have East Side candidates for the one seat, for both seats, actually. We could wind up having an election where we have two East Side seats on the council. And the other reality is I can't tell people what to file for. It's a democratic process. If they decide that they're going to file for the four-year seat, that is beyond my control. I don't consider myself the dictator of the County Democratic Party. I support all of our candidates. And in this case, I was supporting the decisions of the other two candidates.
So you found out about it on the news?
I had called the Glenn the day that we were all filing, and I asked the question, is our agreement still in place, you know, 5 or 10 minutes before the deadline? And Glenn said no, which I was really surprised that was the case. And it was more of a personal question the other night because I just didn't understand that, you know, where he was coming from. And it was, I just wanted to know because I thought that an agreement is an agreement and that you'd need to be honest.
So, Tal, you've been on the council for a year now. What do you think you've done in that year to justify being reelected?
You know, being on the council, there is a fairly steep learning curve. Being a conservative, my associates on the council took me in with open arms and have taught me. So I have done the job. I'm doing the job, and I've been able to reach across the aisle. Politics hasn't come into play. It's all about the citizens. It's all about what's best for the county and the vision for the county. So I think I've learned what I need to learn. There will always be that process of learning, but I'm doing the job now, and I think I'm doing it fairly well.
So he's basically saying that you need to start all over. I mean, you'd have to start from ground zero there.
There's a certain amount of truth to that, but I've been studying the issues extensively. I've attended a lot of the county council meetings. I try to at least glance through the packets every week to see what the issues are. And since I've been the county chair for 7.5 years now, I've been supporting our candidates who have run for the council. And I've, even before I was running myself for the council, I regularly attended a lot of county council meetings on the hot button issues, not with the regularity I have since I started running this time, but I was a fairly regular attendee at some of the council meetings. In fact, a few months ago, Chris Robinson's pointed me out in the back. I was the only person at the Richens Building other than county staff that was attending the meeting.
So, Tal, what was your biggest aha this past year when you said it's a steep learning curve and there's a lot I learned? What was the biggest one for you?
It's just not Wednesday meetings. I mean, the council position is a 24/7 job. So there's a lot of things that go on as far as functions, things that are fun and getting involved and knowing the different individuals and organizations, but there's also other things as far as researching when things are before the council. Issues are before, it takes a lot of time to look through the whole picture and be prepared when it comes for council. So it's just not an 8-hour-a-week job. It's 20 to 30 hours a week if you want to do it right.
And Glenn, in these meetings that you've gone to, is there anything that you've looked at and said, I don't get why county council does it this way and I want to change it?
it's, I think on individual issues, I may have some different ideas. There's nobody on the council right now that has any kind of engineering or science background. So when I start looking at issues, I read through a packet, I say, you know, what's physically happening here? I think a good example was about a week and a half ago, the discussion on the berms at on Volcker Court. I got a lot of additional information by listening to the presentation that Doug Clyde made in support of the people on Volcker Court. And one thing that appeared to me is they're building that retention area so that in a really serious overflow situation, it's going to run into Willow Creek. The Willow Creek flood zone actually runs right up to Route 224 on the other side of the highway, on the east side of the highway. So if we have an additional water flow coming from this stormwater impoundment, running into Willow Creek during a high flood situation, are we getting the situation where we could flood Route 224 and potentially wash it out? I don't know. But that's looking at the physical situation. That's the kind of thing I can bring to the council.
But isn't that why we paid county engineers to do it?
County engineers make suggestions. The council makes the decisions. So it helps to have someone on the council who actually understands what the engineer is talking about.
So what did you think after taking the field trip?
I can't talk specifics because we're still the appellate, but it opened your eyes walking through the mud and seeing the different perspectives. So that's what council people do, is take the time to get out and look at the different issues. So it was eye-opening and pretty informational as we walked through the other day during the storm and in the mud.
In Monday's candidate forum, Doug Clyde made the point of Vail is essentially a new member of the community, and we're still kind of feeling each other out when it comes to the community and Vail and what that partnership's going to look like long term. Do you see, Tal, this berm as kind of a microcosm of what we might be dealing with when it comes to Vail, or do you think let's see if we can't work it out?
I think you have to look at each situation. Again, on specifics, I can't really speak it to because we're still hearing the case, so to speak. But I think you have to take each issue on its own face value and not read into anything. When things come before the council, you have to look at it objectively, not from both sides. So county staff brings you a vast amount of information and informs you the way you need to know. And then you also have the other side that comes in, and you have to look at all options and also what the law is. So you look at everything, just not from a whole perspective as far as people's opinions of a particular situation.
But as far as Vail goes, and someone made the comment of you need to have the smartest person in the room when you're negotiating with Vail. Glenn, do you think you're the smartest person in the room?
We'd have to see. I won't make that presumption right now. I hope I would be on their par, let me put it that way. And I think Vail, they are now the big dog in town. They're a corporate behemoth. They have stockholders to satisfy. I believe they, given the chance, they're always going to push the limits on what they do in town. And the council has to be ready to evaluate every situation and see if they've pushed the limits too far, hold their feet to the fire on commitments that they have made and that the previous entities have made with regard to their property, and take a real close look at what they're doing.
You're listening to Utah Politics Now here on KPCW. We'll be back right after these messages.
Gordo here. And I'm Larry with All Resort Group, a proud sponsor of KPCW.
Since 1974, we've been part of this community with shared ride, private van, and SUV service for our customers.
Reservations available at allresort.com or 649-3999.
We move people.
Wake up to the Marketplace Morning Report every weekday at 6:50 and 7:50 during the morning news with Leslie Thatcher. Brought to you in part by DeJoria Center at High Star Ranch. Esco Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical. That's Esco, ESCO. And Cushman Wakefield Commerce Commercial Real Estate.
Hi, I'm Seth Bocholt, founding principal of Bocholt Landscape Architecture and sponsor of This Green Earth on KPCW. With over 15 years in design and construction, we offer site planning and landscape design for mountain outdoor living spaces. Located at 750 Kearns Boulevard, 649-3856, or at bocholtlandscapearchitecture.com.
10:21, you're listening to Utah Politics Now. I'm Leslie Thatcher, along with my co-host, Renee Bodley. We'll be taking your phone calls here in about another 20 minutes. That number will be 435-655-8255. We're talking to the two candidates running for Summit County Council seat E, the incumbent Republican Talladere and the Democratic challenger Glenn Wright. Well, this is a partisan race. As I just mentioned, you guys are representing political parties, but we've heard from both of you that it's not really, politics really don't play a lot of part in county politics. Still, except for this issue, taxes. With lots to do and a limited tax base, the Summit County manager this week threw out the possibility of a property tax increase. Revenues, he says, are not keeping pace with what needs to be done, such as justice reform, behavioral health, as well as keeping up with county employee wages and benefits. The new transit plans will mean more operational costs. So given that, and if elected, you could be asked to raise the property tax next year, which is one of the lowest in the state, Tom Fisher reminded us. So, Tal, Adair, as the Republican, would you?
I have to, one of the things of the process is that over the next couple of months, staff in different departments will come before the council and state their cases of why their budgets are what they have. They've gone through a pretty aggressive process over the summer working with Tom Fisher, the manager, and coming up with these proposals. So this will be a really good chance to look at those budgets and see why we're going in the direction we are and if there's ways we can shave off or increase, whatever it is, but the council will look at the process as a whole.
Right, but we're talking about future years here now when we do have other needs, again, with expanding the jail they're talking about, and also if, in fact, these transit taxes are approved, it means now you have a lot of more operational costs, new buses, things like that, I mean, which could take a tax increase.
Well, that's the whole purpose that we went into the propositions as they are now, is that it will, yes, we'll have that, but it will also maximize our dollars so that if there are grants available with the state matching funds, we have those funds already. So we can't assume that we'll automatically have increases, but we'll be able to match those funds with federal dollars and state dollars, which gives us the ability to have more money because it's kind of we're sweetening the pie because we have it, they'll match it, and those costs will be covered without tax raises.
So as a Democratic challenger, Glenn, how do you feel about increasing taxes?
I think the council has a job, really two major jobs from the council, setting policy and setting priorities. So the first thing you look at is priorities. Look at the entire budget, which parts of that budget have priorities. Can we cut in other places first? And that's going to be, I think, the first option. But I think we have to understand the tax system in general. Property taxes do not have any inflation escalator in them, the way our property tax system works. You only get additional property tax revenue if you actually have physical growth in the county. Now, in talking to people as I'm going door to door, one of the biggest issues people have, are we growing too fast? So where do we balance our priorities within the county between growth and no growth? If we have no growth, but we still have additional requirements for salaries, basically, we might have to increase taxes. Other issues that could face us, the justice and mental health issues the county's facing are a direct result of unfunded mandates given to us by the state legislature. They decided not to do Medicaid expansion. Medicaid expansion would mitigate virtually all of those costs. So until the legislature steps up and do that, we may have to face raising funds that the state legislature is not willing to spend or not take federal funds for that are already out there.
A reminder, you're listening to Utah Politics Now here on KPCW. We will be taking your phone calls for Summit County Council candidates Talladere and Glenn Wright coming up in about 20 minutes. That number is 435-655-8255. Again, those phone lines will open, let's say 15 minutes instead of 20 minutes. Please call in with your questions for these gentlemen. You mentioned mental health, Glenn. Council member Kim Carson, who's running unopposed, said she thinks this is the biggest issue facing the county. Roger Armstrong, who was also running opposed, agreed. We're not only talking about depression and suicide, but also substance abuse and the effect it has on our kids and on our jails. Council recently heard a presentation by Sheriff Martinez about revamping the criminal justice system and letting nonviolent drug offenders out of jail and putting them in more of a supervised setting that saves costs on the jail side, but increases costs on an administration side. Where would you rather see that money spent, Glenn Wright?
I'd rather see it on the rehabilitation side, personally. I think we should not be jailing people for low-level drug crimes such as possession. The proper method should be rehabilitation, and that's where we can, if we see some savings on the incarceration side, maybe we can shift funds to the rehabilitation side. But I'm not absolutely sure that's going to happen, because what the legislature has done in their justice revamp is taking a lot of crimes that had been felonies and would have gone to state prisons and made them misdemeanors that now find themselves in the county jail. So exactly how that's going to work out, to be determined. We'll have to look at the budget that Justin gives us, that the county health people give us, and see if there's some trade-offs there.
Talladere.
You know, Sheriff Martinez has done a really good job. So the drug court has really worked well, where you've brought in more supervision to look after people that have drug problems and mental issues. So they've worked really well with Valley Mental Health. And so he's asked us to bring on two more individuals so that we can expand that. It really, having a little bit of experience with one of my sons that had that issue, the system was broke in that a third party was really not doing their job. And the sheriff basically had seen that. And with the new law pushing more people back into our jails, he came to the council and said, hey, let's just expand what we're doing now. It's working. They had the numbers. They had the statistics that proved that if they keep a little bit of a watch, better watch on drug abusers and working with Valley Mental Health, that we see great success in rehabilitating those individuals, putting them back into society, and that they're not going to reoffend. That is really cost effective. Not only that, it costs the person that's in the program a whole lot less than it was by sending clear to Salt Lake to be monitored. So it's working. We have the stats, and I think we should continue to move that direction.
So when we talk about some of these state issues here, drug laws, Medicaid for mental health issues, let's turn to Utah here. I mean, what have you done to build relationships with the Utah legislature, which tends to look at Summit County with some disfavor?
It really doesn't, because Summit County is kind of misunderstood. Just recently, I brought up legislators, and the governor came to Summit County and met with the council the first time under my request. I brought the governor up, and when we talked about main issues, I have endorsements and good relationships from Rob Bishop to Senator Van Tassel to Representative Brown. I know these men by first name. I've been down to the Capitol on a regular basis. So my relationship with them is really good.
Well, where were you then when the legislature was basically shoving the film studios down our throats and requiring Park City then to become involved here? Because this was a Summit County piece of property.
It was, and I wasn't on the council at that time, but I was down talking to legislature at Capitol Hill, and they seen it a little bit different. So there are some dynamics of those people that are in Utah County and Salt Lake County that sometimes don't listen to our needs.
How do they see it now with a big old empty building out there?
I don't see they realize that. It's, again, not in our backyard. And it's our purpose as council people to continue to push that so that doesn't happen again.
Well, maybe you should call your friends, too, and let them know.
Absolutely.
Glenn, any addition to that? I mean, in terms of how you could build relationships with the state legislature, given that they won't even really look at you because you have a D after your name.
Yeah. Well, I do have excellent relationships with, and I know on a first-name basis, pretty much the entire small Democratic delegation in the legislature. And I have some experience testifying in front of committees down there. I was one of the prime movers in the Fair Boundaries Initiative back about 6-8 years ago. I testified about half a dozen times in front of redistricting commission.
And they didn't listen to you.
They didn't listen to me at that time. I think the issue is, on a lot of issues, the Democrats and Republicans can work together. Some of these issues where they're always trying to, that movie studio was, friends of the legislature getting gifts. That's one of the areas I think we can address through our own individual lobbying here and making corporate friends. One of the things that talks in the legislature is money. Building relationships with the corporate entities that have an interest in Park City and Summit County can help us, I think, open some doors with the legislature, because when the legislature evaluates issues, it's money talks with them.
It's 10:33. You're listening to Utah Politics Now here on KPCW Radio.
Support for KPCW comes from the Natural History Museum of Utah, a nonprofit organization presenting The Power of Poison. From fairy tales to modern medicine, explore poison's fascinating relationship with humans. Now open. More information at nhmu.utah.edu. Natural History Museum of Utah, celebrating 5 years at the Rio Tinto Center.
The Park City UPS stores are happy to support the Minor Nation Report, Park City High School Sports, and the Minor Detail Show on KPCW. Since 2004, the Park City UPS stores offer pack and ship services to properly pack fragile and high-value items, including art, electronics, or china, at Kimball Junction and next to the movie theater on Park Avenue.
My name is Mike Ruzick. On November 4th, our community will come together for 24 hours of giving at livepcgivepc.org. Our nonprofits make Park City the place we all love to work, play, and raise our families. They give 365 days a year. Live PC is one day per year that we can give back. So on 11/4/16, all Live PC and Give PC by supporting the organizations that support us.
Park City Community Foundation is a Summit County nonprofit organization and KPCW supporter.
Welcome back to Utah Politics Now on KPCW. I'm Renee Bodley here with Leslie Thatcher, and in studio with us this morning, Glenn Wright and Tal Adair, the gentleman running for Summit County Council. Tal, you're the incumbent, a Republican. Glenn, you're the Democratic challenger. Before we went to break, we were talking about Summit County's relationship with the Utah legislature. Let's talk about a more hyper-local relationship, Mountain Accord. This is the group that was formed a couple of years ago with the Wasatch Front communities, Salt Lake County, Sandy City, Cottonwood Heights, Salt Lake City, to talk about what essentially is Summit County's backyard, our ridgeline, the central Wasatch Mountain area. Glenn, we'll start with you. Do you support Summit County's involvement in Mountain Accord, especially given the price tag for our involvement, which is, we were talking $300,000, yeah?
I believe that is correct, yes. Yes, I do support our continued work with Mountain Accord. I think it's been valuable that we've been at the table. By being at the table, we've been able to kind of short-circuit some of the initiatives that they were initially thinking about, as the tunnel to Park City. Another big potential project that was being talked about was making Guardsman's Pass an all-weather road. Those are two things that nobody wants to have happen here, and it was important for us to be at the table for both of those issues. And I think we've steered some of the discussion now on the transportation, and we're getting a reasonable transportation study on how to better link, Salt Lake City and County with Park City and Summit County. So overall, I think it's been useful for us to be involved, partially to protect our own interests and partially to just become involved in a major regional initiative.
Another county council candidate said that transportation study basically helped the citizens of Sandy City and didn't really help Park City that much. But you think it helped us?
Well, there's one that's in progress right now. a lot of skepticism on the original purpose of the Mountain Accord. There is absolutely no doubt that it was initiated by Sandy City and their backers in the legislature to try to, you know, bring a rail line into Park City and make Sandy a base area for skiing in all three canyons. Fortunately, because we were involved in the process, I believe we were able to short-circuit that part of the process. But that was certainly the economic motivation factor behind the beginning of Mountain Accord.
And given that, you're still in favor of Summit County's participation in the process?
I am.
Taladere, what about you?
I think having a seat at the table is most important. So if we're not there to talking about the issues and understanding the politics, how do we know how to react? So we have worked really well with Park City Municipal in being at the table and seeing issues. And it's kind of warped into a situation now where we can actually use the Accord to help us to expand 40 and 80 as we need. So being at the table is vital. And it just shows how well we have worked with the city mayor and the county and have kept the heat on the Wasatch Front, because our resort communities are important to us, and we should protect that. But as we grow, traffic is also going to grow, and we have to be mindful of that so that we have those abilities to take on as people move through the canyon.
How do you feel about the proposal for One Wasatch? How do you feel about eventually linking us with the Cottonwood Canyons?
I think we need to look at the whole thing. I'm not necessarily positive that we need to have a road linking us to those canyons. I think we do well. We're unique. We're Park City. People come here from all over the world because of who we are. So we don't need to reinvent who we are or share our branding with them. We do well with where we're at, and I think we need to stay with that.
And Glenn, how do you feel about One Wasatch?
One Wasatch, and that doesn't include any road or rail links. One Wasatch, in my knowledge of it, is an initiative by the ski areas to have an over the snow linkage, and I think that would be a good idea. I'm in favor of an over the snow linkage. It would be a completely private initiative. The ski resorts would decide to do it or not. And from what I understand now, Vail Corp is not particularly interested in joining that initiative.
It's 10:40. You're listening to Utah Politics Now. We're going to be opening up the phone lines here in about 5 minutes, 655-8255, if you have a question for these gentlemen. Otherwise, we'll keep asking away. Well, Summit County residents, Tal, are talking about taxing ourselves. You know, that we could collect some $4 million a year with these transit proposals to deal with our transit issues, which we know the majority of the problem is us, just getting in our cars and driving to where we like to go.
Right.
At the same time, we see Wasatch County growing gangbusters. And I'm just wondering, it's like, unless we have some kind of agreement with Wasatch County to be participating in this, everything we do here in Summit County could be for naught. They have thousands of units just in the Mayflower area alone, with many of those residents coming into Park City to ski. So what is it that you have done with Wasatch County at this point, and what do you expect that we could see in terms of some kind of transportation agreements in the future?
I agree, is that what they do does affect us, and there could be potentially thousands of homes around Jordanelle. What we have done as a council earlier this summer, we met with Wasatch and talked to them. They actually presented their plan to the county. Now they kind of fell on deaf ears as far as working out some bus lines and things that may minimize our traffic problems. Our job as council is continue to try to open those doors and work with them and find solutions, because they will drift over because of our lifestyle that we like here.
Yeah, but do they have any money behind them, like we're talking about, you know, putting into the pot here? $4 million a year?
That's what, with huge growth, they have the same problems that we'll have as we have growth. It's opening the dialogue and having the relationship and realizing that 2 + 2 = 4, and not just close the doors and say, stay out, we'll do our thing and you do your thing. We have to open up dialogue and work with them and be able to come to the table and realize it's a regional process, not just a local county to county.
Well, would you be asking Wasatch County officials maybe that their residents should be thinking about taxing themselves to help with the transportation issues?
I think that's certainly an issue the Wasatch County Council is going to have to deal with. And I agree with Tal that building the relationships with the Wasatch County Council is probably key to this. I've been participating in political discussions over in Wasatch County almost on a weekly basis for about 3 years now. I know several of the candidates that are currently running for Wasatch County, and one of the incumbents I already have a pretty good working relationship with. I probably, because of the fact that I ran for the District 54 2 years ago, I started to establish some of those relationships in that community, and I probably have a closer personal relationship with more of those people than anybody on the council currently.
One of the things that came up on Monday's candidate forum, I keep bringing that forum up. It was a good one. You can hear it on our website, kpcw.org. One of the things that came up in regards to the relationship with Wasatch County was affordable housing. And a candidate had said, you know, Summit County might have poked Wasatch County in the eye a little bit when we allowed some of the required affordable housing from some of our development here mm-hmm. to exist in Wasatch County, which brings us to affordable housing. What do you think the solution is, Glenn, when it comes to affordable housing? Is it a government responsibility? Is it a private company responsibility? Is it both?
It is both, and I will say that that was a particularly dumb idea to essentially poke Wasatch County in the eye on that. But yes, it is a public and private issue that we have to deal with. I'm the board chair of Habitat for Humanity, so I've been involved for the last 5 years in trying to provide affordable housing in Summit and Wasatch County. We're currently building a house in Wasatch County. And I served on the Park City Blue Ribbon Housing Commission to make recommendations to the Park City on that issue. Some of the recommendations we made were to have a regional advocacy group for affordable housing, which I'm currently involved with. But in terms of how we create more affordable housing, we've got pretty good inclusionary zoning in the code right now. Unfortunately, it takes forever to build the affordable housing using that code for a variety of reasons. One reason is the development process takes such an enormous period of time to get through regulatory processes, both in Park City and in Summit County, that people make commitments for affordable housing. It may not be built for 10 and 20 years. An example is the Silver Creek development right now. Took many years. I'm not sure how many. I've heard maybe 5 or 6 years to get through the development process. It was approved by the county last year around this time. Has a 25-year lifespan on it. I think one of the things we need to do in the future is try to streamline the process, shorten the lifetime of a development code so that someone who comes in and says, I'm going to do development, all right, get it done. Put the affordable housing up front. And there may be some needs in the future, since you're wrapping me up here, that the county may have to put some money into projects in the future, but those details would have to be worked out at a future time.
Thank you, Glenn. I'm wrapping you up because we want to get to the phone lines and get questions in. But first, Tal, I want you to respond to what Glenn said about affordable housing to streamline the process. Is that doable?
I think it is doable. I mean, we're smart. Summit County finds solutions no matter what party you are in. We're going to see some incredible growth. As a mortgage banker, I see the pressures on a daily basis that personal families have on qualifying for loans and getting into a house. It's a real issue, and it does put effect on our communities because we just don't want one-sided. We want to be able to have people to be able to be a good community with teachers and police officers and firefighters living within our community where they can afford homes.
You're listening to Utah Politics now here on KPCW. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. Your question?
Do you think that some of the affordable housing that may want to be built would be close enough to Park City that it may someday be incorporated into Park City to help them with their affordable housing?
This is Glenn's talking.
I don't know if that's pertinent or not, but.
Oh, okay. That is really difficult to say. The closest affordable housing that would be to the Park City boundary would be at the base of the canyons, and whether or not Park City annexes the canyon's base would be a decision made between Park City and the residents of that area. So that's really impossible for me to predict how that would go. I wouldn't hold my breath.
I know Park City Municipal has been working on plans for affordable housing, so I think it's a community, both county and city issue, and I think we work well with that where it makes sense, where new commercial comes in and we can put maybe apartments on top of that commercial is a good idea. I think we need to make sure that they are built first and not last or 10 years down the road so that we address our issues now.
Yeah. If I could just add to that, one of the things we talked about in the Blue Ribbon Housing Commission with it is that affordable housing really is a regional issue. And whether or not it absolutely fulfills requirements within the city boundaries or within the Snyderville Basin, to a certain degree, doesn't matter because everybody's going to access the same jobs and housing in this part of the county.
Can we say this is a fair assessment, though, of the differences between you? Because, Tal, you have certainly told me, because I had asked the question about, Park City putting in some $40 million over the next 5 years into affordable housing to actually get it built and buy land. You had said, no, that's not the government's role. Do you stand by that?
I think the government plays an important role, and we do have funds in the county, but we should look at all aspects of it and just not throw money at it. I think we use our money to maximize the effort where it's most needed rather than taking the low-lying fruit that maybe we could find out in a private area.
And I'm guessing, Glenn, you would feel the other way. You'd say, sure, let's find $40 million in the budget.
I'm not sure if we have $40 million in the county budget, considering the county budget is, what, something in the $50 to $60 million range every year. But understand that $40 million for Park City is over a 10-year period, and they have an RDA that funds that. But land costs are a big part of the of creating affordable housing. As I said, my position as board chair for Habitat for Humanity, if somebody gives us some land, we'll start building tomorrow.
You're listening to Utah Politics Now. Caller, you're on the air. You have a question?
Hi. As a council person, you set the agenda for the following year. What would each of your agenda, top priority agenda item, be for the council?
Let's start with you, Taladir.
I think growth is a big issue. We need to look how we're going to handle growth. And when you handle growth, you also have to have a vision of what we're going to look like in 50 years. So coming to the studio this morning, I kind of went down memory road as remembering how Park City used to be. Somebody had the vision to say, hey, we want to keep it the way it is so that we develop it in a process. I think growth's important, affordable housing's important, and also transportation. They all encompass each other, and we have to hit them straight on.
Glenn Wright.
I would agree with the priorities that Tal just mentioned, but I would add to those the issues of climate change and economic diversity. As climate change advances in our community, we're going to have more and more bad snow years. A couple of bad snow years in a row is going to hit the municipal and county budgets very severely and the whole economic structure of the county. So we need to try to develop additional economic resources and businesses in the community are not related to the ski industry. The tech park issue out at Kimball Junction was a good idea. It hasn't really progressed very far. Climate change initiatives, if we could work with Rocky Mountain Power to bring in more clean energy, we could actually provide clean energy from resources that we could develop on the eastern part of the county in terms of wind resources and solar farms.
Both of those items were on my list of questions here, but if the listening audience has a question, 655-8255, 655-TALK is the number to call. Let's just jump on there. Summit County has put a lot of money towards sustainability, helping to finance the efforts of Summit Community Power Works. We've installed solar panels on county buildings. And just this week now have agreed to subsidize the home energy scores for Summit County residents. So, Tal, I mean, is this... Is this the government's role to do this?
I think we need to lead out. We need to be the stewards of this earth. We need to realize that we start with that, and sometimes being a good leader is being in action. And so our goals in the county is to have a sustainability, and the council, myself included, we've been pretty forthcoming in making sure that those goals are met. We almost meet with Lisa, if not on a monthly, every other month. She's the sustainability director, so we're pretty aggressive in the county in putting our resources and our money where our mouth is.
So, Glenn, he sounds like a Democrat.
I'd like to contrast the carbon goals for Park City and Summit County. Park City sends some pretty aggressive goals in terms of being carbon neutral on energy by 2022 for municipal operations and 2032 for the community. I think Summit County should adopt similar goals. The goals we have right now are pretty modest, and they do include a lot of good things that we're doing. But the key thing that has to be done is we have to bring more carbon-free energy into the county. As long as we're on the Rocky Mountain power grid that's supplying with us with 80% coal-based electricity, we're not going to get to any of those goals, either in Park City or in Summit County. And so the key is, I think, negotiating with Rocky Mountain Power to allow more clean energy to come into the county grid.
So should the Summit County go that far in terms of setting, you know, net zero goals?
We have. We've met with Rocky Mountain Power as a council already, and they've come back to us and talked about down in Holden, where the largest solar farm has just been brought online. So I think it's not going to happen overnight, but we are aggressively working towards that, and I think all of the council voted that was a great idea and that we can continue to move in that direction.
This is going to be the last question because we're going to wrap things up here. You're listening to Utah Politics Now. Caller, you're on the line. What's your question?
Thank you. While the news is dominated, and maybe rightly so, by our international ski resort and how to wedge the next million-dollar home in between the last two trees on the hill and clogged roads out of town, what about the rest of the county, which you will also represent? How knowledgeable are you with the east side of town and their issues, or the county and their issues? And can you name all the other mayors outside of Park City? Just something fun.
Oh, that's
Thanks.
A good all right. test.
All right, well, we'll start with Glenn just because he lives on the west side. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I cannot name all the mayors on the east side of the county. I know Tal can because they've all endorsed him. My knowledge of the east side of the county is based upon, you know, really campaigning there in two elections. Once in 2010 and Legislative District 53, and then this year. And in talking to people out on the east side, one of the things I hear is the threat of sprawl on the east side of the county. So I think one of the principal issues we have right now is the Eastern Zone Planning Commission's current proposal for essentially placing a new home on every 75 feet along Route 248 and 32. I think that's a particularly bad solution to the sprawl problem on the it would accentuate sprawl on the eastern side of the county. The council needs to reject that particular proposal and send it back to the Planning Commission for more work. We need to develop more clustered zoning on the east side, try to collect some of the entitlements that are existing over there in areas where the infrastructure exists, in or near the cities, the towns over there, where you have municipal water and sewer. Everybody's afraid of too much growth. We can't stop growth, but we can manage it.
Impress us, Tal. Who are all the mayors?
Okay. Randy Obart in Hennifer. We've got Wade Wilston-Hume in Oakley. We've got Trevor Johnson in Colville. We've got Lou Marchant in Camas and Lee Snellgrove in Francis. All unique, all have their own unique problems and issues from economics to agriculture. All are good people trying to do the best they can and also keep their history alive. Eastern Summit County does have some unique processes. Agriculture is a big thing, And I don't think anybody wants to sell their farm, but it gets to a point where they want to leave a legacy for their kids, or they want to be able to, have their kids close to them, what have you. So there are some unique issues, and we have to be able to listen to their needs and be able to find that happy medium of keeping pastures green and also allowing them to help their kids or help a legacy of sending kids to college and that type of thing.
Okay, that's going to be it.
We've reached the point in the show where we do closing statements. Glenn Wright, you've got 30 seconds. We'll start with you.
Thank you very much. My vision is for Summit County as a place where, with employment opportunities and housing, that allow our residents to both live and work here, where we solve our traffic problems, where we lead on climate change but prepare for its effects, and where our initiatives on climate change can actually lead to economic opportunities. We can solve our problems through smart planning, smart investments, realistic priorities, and strategic alliances and partnerships. I hope you agree and will support me during this election campaign.
Thank you, Glenn Wright, the Democratic candidate for Summit County Council. Now we go to the Republican candidate, Tal Adair.
Hey, thank you for having us. I believe I have the leadership skills. I have the background in business. I know the east side, and I also know the west side. I know the individuals that make things happen in the business and to bring businesses here to Park City and Summit County. I have been doing the job. I've been doing it really well. I work well with the current council and continue to do whoever is on the council. I am the guy to do the right job no matter what. I appreciate your vote.
Thank you. Tal Adair and Glenn Wright, Summit County Council candidates, we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Coming up next week on Utah Politics Now, we're going to hear from Dr. Peter Clemens, the Democrat candidate for Utah House District No. 1, running against Congressman Rob Bishop, who declined our invitation to be on the show. We will also be talking to open space advocates and also school board candidates Petra Butler and Mo Hickey. So please join us next Thursday at 10 a.m. for Utah Politics Now.
Hi, I'm Joe Simmons with the Park City High School. Stay in touch with all things Miners with our weekly Miner Nation Report. We'll bring it to you every Monday morning during Morning News with Leslie Thatcher, and in the afternoon with The Local View with Randy Barton. Highlights, scores, schedules, all things Park City Miners Athletics. The Miner Nation Report is brought to you in part by the Park City UPS Stores, Elliott Work Group, U.S. Bank Park City, and Miller Orthodontics.
Utah Politics Now is sponsored by HCVT CPAs, located in Old Town. HCVT.com.
Wasatch & Wool Yarns is delighted to continue sponsoring KPCW's Classified Show. They offer yarn and fiber for knitting, spinning, weaving, and crochet. A few of the brands they carry include Blue Sky Alpacas, Noro, Malabrigo, and The Fiber Company. They also have classes for all abilities and monthly knit-alongs. Wasatch & Wool at the Redstone Shopping Center, wasatchandwool.com.
You've been listening to Utah Politics Now here on KPCW. I'm Leslie Thatcher along with Renee Bodley. We'll see you next week.
This is Allison Kulo with the Park City Chamber Bureau. Do you know that members of the Park City Chamber Bureau have access to a wide array of benefits that give them an edge in the local marketplace? We offer member-only insurance and discount programs, business-to-business networking, educational seminars, and much more. Becoming a member of the Park City Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business. Information on joining can be found at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100.